Readings from James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied with action, is dead. But some will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac at the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not only by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
So yes, good morning everybody. It's lovely to be here. Oh, hello, I didn't see you. That's nice to see you. so lovely to be here. Many of you will know we have been running an Alpha course at All Saints in Handcross over the past couple of months, so we haven't been here sort of regularly. So it's lovely to be here and to share a little bit about what God is doing at All Saints. I am very relaxed about this time, so please, if you feel like you want to ask a question halfway through, please do so. All heckling is allowed. Any throwing of oranges I will try and catch. So please be relaxed. Carl has asked if I would talk a little bit about what is happening at All Saints and the identity of the church that is evolving there. As he said, we're having sort of a series at the moment about the identity of the different congregations in the parish. So I thought I would start with a really sort of brief history. Looking around, most of you will know this already, and most of you will have spent considerable time at All Saints, but I thought it would be helpful, just for completeness, to have a little bit of history. So, Paul, if I could have that first slide. So, this is the mission hall, it was called, or the mission church, that was constructed in 1885. And during that time, it was used as a place for the community to gather. It was used for all kinds of social events and that kind of thing, and a worshipping space as well, I expect. But then when the parish hall was constructed, it was consecrated as a church in 1915. And over the past 108 years, it has been used for a variety of activities and services, and it's had an extension at some point, and it's had sort of internal modifications. If you look at the Slough archives, there's all kinds of nice pictures of the inside of the old church. But now we have a multi-purpose space. We can use it for all kinds of things, and that's something that I really enjoy about the building, is that we can have it as a a children's toddler group one day, it can be a youth space playing football another day, it can be a cafe on a Saturday, it can be a worshipping space on another day. So it's multi-purpose, really, really useful space, and it's right in the middle of Hand Cross, which is really useful too. When the A23 was constructed back in the 80s, is that the 80s or the 90s? Don't remember. Anyway, there was a bridge that was put over the A23, which now means that the entrance is several metres underneath the road, which is okay if you're able, but if you're less able, it is a bit of a challenge and something that will probably need to be addressed at some point. But that's where we are at the moment. So that's the physical place. But in terms of what's been happening with the church there, the gathering of people for worship and outreach, all kinds of things have happened, and I'm sure many of you, as I look around, have been involved in lunch clubs and children's clubs and youth clubs and worship times that have happened there. At some point, it was used as a refuge for children in the Second World War, and so all kinds of sort of outreachy type things have happened in that place. And that's what's happening now as well. The passage that we have had read talks about living faith. The faith that we are to have that is alive and living and transformational and causing change. And the passage talks about the dangers of not having the two components of faith and action working together. And I think for those of us who walk with Jesus, that's always a challenge to hold those two things in tension. There's a temptation to go off to one side and say, faith is all there is. That's all we need, is just what we think and what we believe to be true, and our Christian life will be fulfilling and fruitful. That's a temptation to go to one extreme. The other extreme is to see all the need that there is and to work and work and work and work and work, but have no transformation. And it's the challenge to hold those two things in tension, where faith and work are together, where you're listening to what God is saying and obeying what he's asking you to do. Listening what he's saying and obeying what he's asking you to do. And if we can do that, if we can hold those two things in tension, the work that God wants to see happen will come into fruition. Because essentially, we are his hands and feet. We are the people who are called to be Jesus' representatives here and now. So in recent years, that is what has been happening. In sort of around about 2019, through listening prayer, listening to God, listening to the people of the community, the discovery was made that children in the parish were going hungry, or in Hand Cross anyway. Children in Hand Cross were going hungry. And so the faith, the belief that that is wrong, the belief that God was wanting us to do something, resulted in the action of doing something. So through donations, which you have all been involved in, and contributions from supermarkets, the pantry, or the village pantry, was started. It was all very relaxed. We had a pile of food on a table. We had a few tables for a cup of coffee and cake, and that's how it started. People would come, get what they needed, and engage in community and in conversation. And that is what has developed over the years. There was obviously the challenge of the pandemic, where it had to morph a little bit and change a bit, but that's what's been happening. And it's really interesting how God is drawing people to us. And I think that is something that's probably happening throughout the whole parish. God is doing something. I don't quite know what it is, but God is stirring something. And what's happening at All Saints, I feel like that I'm standing on the outside and watching what God is doing, and he says, come and be part of what I'm doing. So God is drawing people, and it's really fascinating. The people that God is drawing very often have had some Christian experience, some Christian input in their life. It might have been Sunday school. It might have been a grandparent. It might have been a foster carer. The people who are coming are finding community in the midst of coffee and cake and honest conversation, and they're reconnecting with their faith. They're reconnecting with what God has invested in them in the past. And we've had requests. People have been saying, can we have a church? Can we have a church? Which is really exciting. And so, a couple of weeks ago, Barbara and I got stuck in Geneva. There are worse places to be stuck, but because of a cancelled flight, we had to stay a couple of extra days. So one of the things we did, we went to the Museum of the Reformation, which is in Geneva. A lot of the Reformation sort of history is around that sort of area. And whilst we were going around, I saw this quote from William Booth. And now it's in several languages there, but essentially it says, soup, soap, salvation. And this approach, this way of engaging, this way of meeting people's needs, this way of engaging in community is not new. I mean, this happened with the Salvation Army. This is happening all over the world. Soup, soap, salvation. You meet somebody's need, immediate need. Children are going hungry. You meet that need. You engage in communication and conversation. And out of that comes salvation. The pantry wasn't established as a tool of evangelism. That wasn't the aim. We're going to meet these people's need. We're going to provide them food so that they will become Christians. No. We meet their need because that is the right thing to do. But out of that comes community, and out of that comes questions. And I like this this sort of image. Paul, if you could put up the next one. This kind of stage, this process that goes on. And it all begins with listening. Listening to God, listening to people, and hearing their story. And out of listening comes our loving and serving. Out of our loving and serving comes community that's built. Out of community comes, can we have a church here? So we explore discipleship. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And then the church begins to take shape. But that's all connected with ongoing listening, ongoing prayer, and ongoing relationship with the wider church. Now, The reality of that is it's very messy. It's very messy. It's very chaotic. And we're learning not to be afraid of sin. We're learning not to be afraid of people who come with lives that are different to ours, and whose lives are perhaps not what we think are right. And we're learning to engage with that. And that's part of the challenge. The part of the challenge is, okay, it's lovely to hand people food, but then we stand back as the strong ones and the ones who have the resource, but we don't step into the middle of the mess that's going on. I found myself at a social gathering a couple of weeks ago, or months ago probably, a couple of months ago. I'd been invited to a barbecue, which was great, and all kinds of things were happening around me. People were taking illegal drugs. There were people here who were struggling with their identity. There were people here whose relationship status was all over the place. And I'm thinking, what am I doing in the middle of this? This isn't my natural comfort zone. And yet, this is where I'm meant to be. This is where Jesus would be. And it's messy, and I don't get it, and there's things going on I don't agree with, and people fall out with each other, and it's just, sometimes I think, you just keep going, one foot in front of the other. So the challenge and the invitation is to be part of that mess and see what God does in the midst of it. It's not religious. There's no church language. There's no understanding of biblical truth necessarily. It's just messy. And yet Jesus is working in the midst of all of that. What's happening at All Saints is so much like the story of the prodigal son, I would say. And people are coming back to the Father. They're coming back to the Father with the little that they know and the little they've experienced and the hunger that they have to find something more. And I think the challenge for me and for all of us is, what will they find when they come home? Will they find a father, or will they find the elder brother? In the story of the prodigal son, I'm sure you know it, the elder brother wants the prodigal to change before he will welcome him home. What about the drugs? What about the confusion about your identity? What about your marital status? What about it? Or are they going to find the father who welcomes them in the midst of the pigsty, of the smell, the stench, the chaos, the mess? And that, I suppose, is my prayer. That what happens at All Saints, that a community of Jesus-loving people will welcome the prodigals home. And yes, there will be all kinds of questions. There will be all kinds of things that we don't necessarily agree with. And that's not to say that holiness isn't important. Holiness is vital if we're going to walk correctly and truly with Jesus. But let's walk with people as they sort it out. So, it's messy, it's busy, it's tiring. I'm amazed how many chairs I am constantly moving. But it's wonderful to see the life that's happening. People are coming who have no faith. People are coming to be involved just with the pantry activities, and they're experiencing something. So please continue to pray for us and come and listen to people's stories, because there are some beautiful, beautiful people coming. Amen.